narrative of Yosef was interrupted with a different story, a story of Yehuda, who went aside from his brothers. It's a colorful narrative. And I was away yesterday, so we didn't study it together. Now, the beginning of Chamishi, which also heralds the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, we return to the story of Joseph. V'yesef hurad mitzroima, the Torah says. Yosef was brought down into Egypt. V'yiknehu Paitifar siris paroi. Paitifar, who was amidst the officers and nobility of the Pharaoh, and siris also could mean a eunuch, as we'll soon see. He was Sarat HaBachim. He was the chief butcher. And there's a dispute amongst our sages whether that means he was the chief executioner or the person who was in charge of meat packing. At any rate, he was a powerful man in Egypt. He was an Ishmitzri. He's an Egyptian man. And he is the one who bought him Yada Yishmaelim, from the hands of the Yishmaelim, Asher Hoiri Duhu Shama, who brought Yosef HaTzadik down. So Rashi tells us, V'yosef urad, the fifth reading, the 39th chapter, is Chezer Le'inyan Rishon. We now return to the original narrative. The story began with Joseph and his brothers, and now we return to this. So why did we stop talking? Why did we go away from it? Ela shehifsik bei kedelismech yiridasa shel Yehuda limchirasa shel Yosef. The reason that the Torah interrupted the story of Yosef's being sold with the story of Yehuda and his, shall we say, colorful little event over there, is because we want to tell you something. It was because of Joseph that Judah was demoted. And once Judah was demoted, so that's when things kind of went down, as they did. He was away from his brothers. And furthermore, there's another reason why we have the story of Yehuda and Tamar, his erstwhile daughter-in-law, who became the individual who carried his children. And we juxtapose this to the story of Ishtai Shel Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar. So the truth is, you know, somebody posted on Facebook, posted this class, he said, who is Potiphar? He's not exactly a famous biblical figure. He doesn't play, he's not one of our heroes, let's just say that. But he is a person who is instrumental at a certain point in the biblical narrative. Not that he's a big tzaddik or does anything right, but he's a figure, like the Pharaoh is a figure. And perhaps the wife of Potiphar plays even a larger role, as we'll see. And all of this is loymer lecha, to tell you that ma'azoi, just as Tamar, who did some very strange things, did it l'shem shomayim, she did it with the purest of intentions, afzu, the wife of Potiphar, even though she seems like an entirely licentious and debaucherous person, she had some kind of l'shem shomayim. She also had like a higher intention. It wasn't just about the pursuit of libido or sensual pleasure. Rasa b'itzrologin shela. She saw through her machinations of astronomy and astrology. She asida lahamid banim mimeno. That she saw with certainty that she was destined to bring children into the world through Joseph. But she did not know imimena, if this would happen through her. Imibita, if this would happen through her daughter. A typical Hollywood story. Anyway, that's how the story of Yosef, how and why the story of Yosef, which is the major event here, gets interrupted with a little bit of what seems to be a tangential narrative. And now we return to the primary focus. And so let's talk about Joseph. So Joseph was Hurad Mitzrayim. Rabbi Avram and Rambam says that the Torah uses the words Hurad, not Yorad. That's to tell you that Joseph was not happy about this journey. He wasn't like, wow, I can finally get away from my brothers. I can start to live on my own. He was deeply, deeply pained. This was a very, very bad thing for him. And the Daz Zakenim of Balei HaTosfos say Hurad to remind us that Joseph here plays an outsized role, an oversized role. He thinks that he is being going or the details of whatever, however it happened that he's going down, but all of this is Gzeiros HaMakim, said the Balei HaTosfos. This is ultimately the decree of Hashem, and there's a bigger story that's going on here. So that he's compelled, or propelled by a more powerful force. And he buys him. Vayikneo Petifras is part of the Targum Yonis and says that the Sisparit didn't just buy any slave. He bought Joseph. On the slave market, he took a look at this guy. And Potiphar, he was a sick puppy. He wanted him for he wanted for other things. Joseph was a very handsome boy. He's a pretty boy. And he took one look at this kid. He said, oh, this is the kind of fun I'm looking for. And that's why he bought Joseph. And that's why we talk about Sisparit right after, which according to Onkelos and the Medrash Tov is a sar. It's like an officer. He was a high-ranking person in Egyptian society. In the,
how old was Joseph?
17 years old, a kid. But the word sris also means castrated or eunuch, a person who's impotent. And so there was a miracle that happened that Hashem made sure that he became a saris, that he was no longer able to do what he wanted to do. He lost that ability. And having lost that ability, Yosef was safe. Well, he was safe from Potiphar, but not safe from his crazy wife. So that's what happens. And Yosef is in this very precarious situation, a pretty boy in a society that idolizes physical beauty and is entirely steeped in sexuality. This is where Yosef is hurled into. And what happens? What happens is, Vayihi Hashem es Yosef, God is with Joseph. Vayihi ish matzliach, he's a very successful man. Vayihi beveis adein of hamitzi, and there he was in the home of his master. So the Torah seems to be saying a number of things over here, like three things. Vayihi Hashem es Yosef, God is with Joseph, one. A new thing, Vayihi ish matzliach. I don't know if there's another pasuk like this in the whole Torah, where you have the word Vayihi, which usually heralds like a new epoch, or begins a new chapter, a new narrative, Vayihi. Here we have Vayihi three times. Vayihi Hashem es Yosef, Vayihi ish matzliach, God is with Joseph. And it comes to pass that he is successful. Vayihi beveis adonav, and he's in his master's home. What is the point being made over here? Like, so the Kli Yakar says, you know, when people get very successful, especially they manage to acclimatize to a new society, a new culture, and then things go well for them. So they want to be part, they want to have fun. He's a kid, remember, it's a young person. So the Kli Yakar says, yeah, he was very successful. God's with Joseph. And because he's with Joseph, he's successful. But Vayihi beveis adonav, if he didn't go out to the nightclubs, he didn't stay at home. He stayed home, did his work. He wasn't looking to join Egyptian society. The Radak says he was successful in everything. And he was successful in his own personal life, in his master's home, everything. On every level he was successful. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in his Torah, Vayihi, you should understand who Yosef was. And understand Yosef was a star. And that's when Potiphar's wife raised her eyes up. And she looked at this star, this young star, a stud. And she said, I want him. This is the guy I'm after. And the Orach Chaim says that the Vayihi kind of traces the trajectory, the rise of a star. First off, he started Vayihi Yosef ish matzliach. He's got some lowly, menial task, and he's super successful. And the next thing we hear, Vayihi ish matzliach. Now he's a somebody. He's very successful. And ultimately, he's Vayihi beis adonav, he rises to prominence in the estate of his master's home. So what does it mean when we say Vayihi Hashem es Yosef, that God is with Yosef? What does it mean? It means he's successful. So it means ostensibly. The Zaken and Balei HaTosfos followed the thesis they began, and they said God was with Joseph in ensuring that Potiphar dried up and was no longer capable of doing the kinds of things he wanted to do. So God basically protected Yosef. Yosef didn't even know what was coming down the pike. He didn't even know how he had been protected. But Hashem protected him. And then the next pasuk says, Vayara Dainov ki Hashem ite. Not only was Joseph with them, but this pedophile sex abuser who wanted to take advantage of a 17-year-old slave and turn him into a sex slave, he noticed that God is with him. V'chol asher hu oseh, Hashem matzliach b'yadei. He notices that everything Joseph does, Hashem makes successful in his hands. So what happened? So what happened? We'll see in a moment what happens. But the interesting question is, what does this mean? Ki Hashem ite. And Rashi says, you know what it means, Ki Hashem Itoi? I'll tell you what it means. It means Shem Shamayim Shogar Befiv. It means that the name of heaven, Shem Shamayim, God's name, is always on his lips. And that's the meaning of Vayhi Hashki Hashem Itoi, that God is with him. And this is really interesting, because in verse 2, where it says Vayhi Hashem Es Yosef, it doesn't say that Shem Shamayim Shogar Befiv. Rashi doesn't say anything. It's understood God is with him in a variety of ways. And here, in verse 3, where it says seemingly the same thing, Vayara Deinav Ki Hashem Itoi, which you would think this is a continuation of verse 2. In verse 2 it says God is with him, should have meant Shem Shamayim Befig, Shogar Befiv. The name of heaven is always on his lips. And then verse 2 is Vayara Deinav Ki Hashem Itoi. Not only is God with him, his master saw God was with him. Well, in that case, why did Rashi come along and comment only on the second Vayara Deinav? Why didn't he comment the first time around? And especially because anybody would read this verse, Vayhi Hashem Es Yosef, and they would say, what does that mean? God was with Joseph. In fact, the Torah even tells us what it means. It tells us that he was Ish Matzliach. God was with him, so he was successful. So if God is with him and he's successful, why would verse 3 have to be speaking about Yosef's behavior, Yosef's being constantly invoking the name of God, when after all, the Torah could simply have, Rashi could have said nothing. I mean, in verse 2 it says, God is with him, he's successful. And verse 3 says, and his master notices this. And because his master notices this, he raises him to a position of tremendous prominence and ultimately gives him the keys. He said, trust you implicitly. Do as you understand you should. So this is really the question here. It's a serious question. Why does Rashi choose to interpret it in this fashion? So the Rebbe talks about this, and he says something very interesting, and that will be the remainder of today's class. And I invite you to open the Yirei Chumash book. We're going to go to page Reish Yud Zayin, Simon Lamed Vav. So the Rebbe asks the obvious question. Rashi tells us, so the words, Ki Hashem Itoi, that God is with him, doesn't mean that God's with him makes him successful. No. It means Shem Shamayim Shogar Befiv. It means that he's mentioning the name of God. He says, Baruch Hashem. So it's sort of beer. Madua in Rashi Mefarash Hasakosif Ki Pshutei. Isn't Rashi, after all, the master of Pshuta Shal Mikra? If he is the master of the literal meaning, he should have interpreted this straightforwardly, literally, which means God is with him. When you say to somebody, God be with you, what does it mean? You should say Baruch Hashem all day? God be with you means you should be successful. And the Torah says that. It says that God was with him and he was successful. Vayi Hashem Itoi, and it says, Vayi Yishmar Shliach. So the Torah basically says that that's what it means. And Rashi comes along and he says, no, it's not what it means. But it means ki Hashem Itoi, that he's saying Baruch Hashem. You say to me, Zu, furthermore, Bituyim daimim mefiim gam bepaskar kredim. It says Vayhi Hashem Es Yosef. It says that before. Later on, we're going to read this in the 23rd verse where it says when Yosef is now hurled into prison because of being framed by the monstrous Potiphar's wife, blaming him for everything and not getting her way in her indiscretion. And she throws Yosef into prison as a result of this. She actually wanted him killed. Potiphar felt bad and he knew she was a lie. She was lying, so he put him in prison. Ein beis It says that the one who was in charge of the jail, he knew nothing. Why? Because he trusted Joseph. Why did he trust Joseph? Because God was with him. Visham, and there, Rashi does not try in any way to reconstrue the words from their obvious and literal meaning, which means Hashem Itoi, God is with him, he is successful. Full stop. Madua, why is it? Dafke Khan, specifically here, we have three times in a row, not the first time, not the third time, but the middle time the Torah talks about God being with him. Why is it here that Rashi decides to comment and say, it does not mean what you think it means? Namely, he's successful. Ha ha, God is with him. Amazing things are happening. No. It means he was a Hasidish Yid. He said, Baruch Hashem all the time.
But it's not talking about the first one. It's talking about some.
Well, it's all one continuum. It's all one Joseph.
It's all about two different things. So.
Yeah, but it's one domino series of successes. We're not really talking about two things. The Torah is describing the reality of Yosef. Here is Yosef in Mitzrayim being wildly successful. V'yeshleimer. So the Rebbe says, here's the key. Hasiba lakach, the reason that Rashi here chooses to comment, not earlier and not later, but here, is because there is a koshi hamisoider dafke because of a yara deinav ki Hashem ite. There is a challenge, a difficulty in understanding this narrative, specifically here in verse 3. What's the challenge? What's different about the God being with him in the beginning, in verse 2, the God being with him in verse 23, and the God being with him in verse 3? The difference is that here it says, Vayar Adoinov, his master saw. It doesn't say his master saw it was successful. It doesn't say his master saw that he's got rabbit's feet or golden horseshoes. It says his master saw that God was with him. Who was his master? A lecherous, debaucherous individual who had no whims about purchasing a 17-year-old boy with the intention of sexually abusing him. A person who could have been the chief executioner, or at the very best, all he was a meatpacker. A powerful one too. A person who could do as he pleases, living in Egypt, which was the place that absolutely denied the presence of any kind of monotheistic reality. You were not mentioned monotheism in Egypt. They were entirely obsessed with bodily and corporeal reality. They believed in an afterlife, but they had to preserve your corporeal remains for you to get the afterlife. Is to preserve the bodies. Because you couldn't have a soul without a body. They couldn't envision this. So this society that idealizes the flesh, he saw that Hashem is with Yosef. How did he see that? That's a huge question. And the Torah says he saw it. Why would Potiphar, if you ask Potiphar why he's successful, he would say because Potiphar is smart. Because Potiphar is brave. Because Potiphar has guts. That's what he would say. Just like any tycoon today, ask him why he's successful. He gets up, he talks about God. Ask him why he's successful. He says, because I'm great. And Potiphar takes a look at Yosef's meteoric rise and success, and he says, oh, Hashem is with him. I see Hashem is with him. Why? Why would Potiphar attribute a lucky kid's success to God?
And what's the effect of that on Potiphar?
The effect that he trusts him implicitly, which puts Yosef in an even more precarious situation. And all of that, of course, is by divine design, because he'll end up in prison and from there he'll become the viceroy. Potiphar was like all of Egypt. He was an idolater. If anything, he should have given credence to Yosef, saying, oh, he must worship the idols well. Not that he's a recipient of God's beneficence. When Pharaoh is approached by Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, I'm here, God has sent me. And the Pharaoh doesn't say, oh, God. You mean he's real, he's getting involved now here, eh? He says, what are you talking about? He says, Le'yodaiti es Hashem, I don't know who God is. Never heard of God. Egypt never heard of God. So Egypt never heard of God, and Potiphar attributes also success to God? It makes no sense. It's a huge problem. Aha, the Lachain, Pirush Rashi, this is why Rashi comes along and says, Shem Shamayim, Shogar Befiv, the name of Hashem is on his lips. Mikivon, Shakol his damnos, every opportunity that Yosef had, what was he always doing? Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. He's talking about God all day. So the Potiphar saw, what is up with this kid? I know two things about him. He has incredible success, and he seems to be praising this invisible God day in, day out. And so Potiphar said, the only reason I could possibly suggest, where are you going? They're finished over there already. You're sending him away? What are you doing? In 2 more minutes, they're finished. He says, the only reason he could suggest that Yosef should be successful like this, the only reason is, it must be, it's connected to God. Why? The guy doesn't stop talking about God. There's no other reason why he should be successful. So because Yosef lived a life of Kiddush Hashem, because Yosef lived a life acknowledging Hashem's presence, what happened as a result? The Potiphar started to believe in God. What an incredible lesson this is for us. You walk around professing your faith for Hashem, and around you people start to say, so there is a God. Yosef didn't evangelize him. Yosef didn't try to convert him. Yosef didn't say, listen, master, let me tell you about God. I'll tell you a little story you never heard before. Nothing. He just said Baruch Hashem. That's all he did. He lived a life of pure devotion to Hashem, and he wasn't ashamed about it. He didn't hide his Jewish values. He walked out with his head held high, and he talked about the fact that he believed everything was a gift from God. And therefore, Yoda Potiphar liyachas hatzachas asher Yosef. Potiphar came to the conclusion by himself. He said, the only reason that this kid is successful has got to be something with that God of his. And therefore, hapsukim ha'achedim, the other psukim, the reason that Rashi doesn't say anything here is because they don't present any problem. They're describing the success of Yosef. They're not describing Potiphar's noticing the success. So if you're describing the success of Yosef, you say God was with him. He was successful. What does it mean? It means what it says. It means that he was successful because God was with him. But here Rashi has a problem. Because here it says, Vayara Deinav. Potiphar saw this. How did he see it? What did he see? He saw success? Fine. How did he see God? And the answer is, Shem Shomayim Shogar Befiv. And therefore, in the other verses, Rashi has no need to comment. It's here that Rashi is compelled to share with you. And invariably, as a result of this, we see the Torah communicates to us not only what happened with Yosef, but also what Yosef was able to engender around him. Here he is, a 17-year-old kid, snatched from his home, sold as a slave, and just by living a life as a Jew, already he's making a difference. What a powerful lesson for all of us. Okay. To be continued.
And if he wasn't successful, it wouldn't